E-A-T-F I-R-S C-I-A and F-B-I F-B-A and F-C-C A-D-L and K-G-B
양천 좋아해 On the hills and far away 내 말이 베테랑 아위 From across the isles to wilderness On hiding hills the sun she sets 내 말이 Dancing horse, stopping horse, stopping horse. I sing horse, stopping horse, stopping horse. Running eyes, from across the ocean.
Israel, rise from your slumber, and the truth shall set you free. From out of Zion comes your Redeemer in the year of Jubilee. Oh, hallelujah! Oh, hallelujah! Hallelujah! Praise Yahweh. From out of Zion comes your Redeemer in the year of Jubilee. Thou art my chosen, for I have called thee. Thou art graven on my hand, and I will gather sing hallelujah, sing hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise Yahweh, from out of Zion comes your Redeemer in the year of Jubilee. Out from the furnace, out of affliction, I have chosen thee, behold. And for your iron, I'll give you silver. For your brass, I'll give you gold. Awake, America. Rise from your slumber. And the truth shall set you free.
Hosanna.
From out of Zion comes your Redeemer in the year of Jubilee. In the year of Jubilee.
Hallelujah, hallelujah, way, hallelujah, hallelujah, way, hallelujah, hallelujah, way, hallelujah, way.
had a family to support. He was a working man. Though his heart stayed home, his job took him away. Mom kept the home fires burning, gave us all her love. At night she held us tight and softly prayed. God lead Dad home now, where he belongs, with family near and love so strong. Lord, keep him safe along the road. In Jesus' name we ask, lead Dad home. There are times that come along in every life when you need to know your dad will be right there. Through these many years, mine never let me down. He always came in answer to my prayers. God lead Dad home now, where he belongs, with family near and love so strong. Lord, keep him safe along.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the By Yahweh's Design radio broadcast for the seventh day of August, year 2022. I am your host, Pastor Dan, and the topic for today's broadcast is Women Are Not Equal to Men. We dedicate this broadcast to our Heavenly Father Yahweh, who is the Great I Am. We also dedicate this broadcast to His holy remnant, who are the believing sons and daughters of Jacob, who was later named Israel. Today, these people are known as the Caucasian or the true Israelite peoples of the world. Hallelujah, which means all praise Yahweh in ancient or Paleo Hebrew. To my Welsh kinsmen, Shumai, and welcome to the program. Prynhanda, Cymru am byth. Our website is www.pastordan.net, and Pastor Dan is all together with no spaces. And, of course, on the website, we want to draw your attention to the Daily Mail page where we put current events, health information, what's going on in the world, etc. Also, prepper and survival information can be found there. On the home page is information about how to help us out with a donation if you feel so inclined. And the Contact Us page is used for contacting me if you do not have my personal email and or phone information. And we do encourage constructive criticism, which every now and then we get. Fortunately, the trolls have been absent for quite some time, other than that one clown a little while ago with a false statement that he made. But that's the way they are. They've got nothing better to do. And after all, they have to earn those shekels they're getting from our enemy, don't they? So I picked this topic about men and women because of things that are going on in the lives of people I know and in my own personal experience in past times, etc. And it's also due to the fact that I believe that we're very, very close to the end of this age and the restoration of things. Now, this restoration means that our Heavenly Father's law is going to become the law of the land once again. And we have to understand that we live in a upside-down world. So that being said, it means when we come under His law again, nothing is going to be as it is today. In fact, almost nothing that we live amongst today will exist in the near future. Before we get into that, the verse I wanted to read is one of my favorites in the whole Bible, is Isaiah 33, verse 22. For Yahweh is our judge, Yahweh is our lawgiver, and Yahweh is our king. He will save us. Wonder how many New Testament folks out there sort of gloss over that one. Please note that in this one verse we find the three branches of government. He is our judge, therefore judicial, our lawgiver, that's the legislative side, and our king, which is the executive branch. So he's all three branches in one. And when we make him our government, then he will save us. The reason we are floundering today in the Western European civilizations or countries is because we Europeans have forgotten who our king is. We have made man-made government our God. And, you know, we forget the scripture where he says that I'm a jealous God. I will tolerate your obedience and reverence. I will not tolerate it going to any other than me. How amazing is that? Thank you, Ella. Ella says that the sound is coming through good, so that is a blessing. So thank you. So, again, you know, it's a form of idolatry when you worship a false idol. And we have made government an idol. We've made institutions an idol. We've made entertainment an idol. We've made celebrities idols. And we've made food, drink, and illicit sex idols. We have lots of idols today. You know, we make fun of the ancient times when it talks about our ancestors and how they fell into idol worship, and we like to look at each other as we go to church and go, see, we're better than they were. Well, some of the worst idol worshipers walking this earth are people that go to churches. They worship the church, first of all, the institution. They worship the preacher. That's idol worship. That individual behind that pulpit may not be a man or woman of God at all. But because they have the position and they stand up before the congregation, they're automatically given this reverence. When they speak the doctrines of devils, adversaries, you see, everything is upside down. So, you know, right before the program, I went ahead and I looked up this chart that was on Google, and it covers the years 2007 to 2016, and it's the English translations most sought for using Google search engines. Remember, they keep track of everything. So it listed the ones most wanted, and you know, the ones that I have found to be the most accurate almost were not to be found on the chart at all. The only one that was even close was the English Standard Version, which we do use from time to time. But like the World English Bible and the Apostolic Bible, the scriptures from South Africa, those versions weren't even on the chart. Virtually nobody looking for those. But the number one version that everybody's looking for, which was about 40% of their search inquiries, was for the King James. Probably the least accurate English translation that exists, if there can be such a thing. So I found that interesting. So approximately 40% are looking for that version. The next highest one sought after was around 28%, which was the NIV, the New International Version, which I have a copy of both of those versions sitting on my shelf here. I haven't looked at either one of them in decades because they're terrible. And yet, 68% of the searches are for those two versions. And I'm thinking to myself, what in the hell is going on? Then the number three version was the New Living Testament. The New Living Testament. I'm going, oh my God. And then these other, other six versions made up about 5% total. So again, the ones that I found through all my years of research to be fairly accurate weren't even on this chart. Nobody's looking for them, according to Google anyway. So less than 5% were looking for the New King James Version, the Holman Christian Standard Bible, the English Standard Version, which we do look at from time to time, but again, that was very low on the graph, excuse me. Then there's one called The Message, which just goes by the initials of MSG. Kind of funny, monosodium glutamate, right? MSG, The Message. And then the NRSV, which is the New Revised Standard Version. Again, all of these six together was less than 5% of the inquiries according to Google. I found that interesting. It's like, do the people realize that they're being deceived? Do the people realize that if you're searching for the truth, these particular versions are terrible? Now the ESV or English Standard Version, it's so-so, just like the New Revised Standard Version, okay, so-so. No English version that I have ever seen gets Genesis right with the story of what happened in the garden. None. No English version whatsoever. I had to go to the ancient Greek and Hebrew and translate it myself to find out what Eve actually did. So no English translation gets that story right. So I found that interesting. So nearly 60% of people, actually 70%, are looking for just three English translations: the King James, the NIV, and the New Literal Translation, or New Living Translation, which all three, again, are terrible. But the enemy wrote them in a form of English that flows easier for the modern day reader. And because people are lazy, they are attracted to these versions. Well, they sound good. But what if they're telling you a lie? Oh, but it sounds good. Does that remind you of anything? Does it remind you of the two-legged beast called Nakash, or the serpent in the garden? And yes, it was a man. It was not a reptile. But Nakash leaned over and started whispering in Eve's ear, did she not? Or did he not? It's just, oh my gosh. In fact, while we're at it, and we're talking about that, we're going to look at Genesis chapter 3 right now. And then we'll get into this, women are not equal to men. And this is a good segue into it, because it sets the stage here. Now the serpent was more subtle or cunning than any creature. It says animal because they want you to think of a snake, but it's not what the original Hebrew said. It's beast or creature, a creation of the Father. So these beasts or creations in the field, meaning the earth, that Yahweh had made, he said to the woman, and this is Nakash, has God really said you shall not eat of any tree of the garden, meaning sleep with, lay with, have sex with? Did he really say that? And the woman says to the Nakash, this evil man, we may eat or lay with and have fruit or activities with the trees of the garden, but not the fruit of the tree which is in the middle of the garden, that we shall not have of. Okay, so we can have intercourse with both social and sexual amongst our own people. But these other trees in this earthly garden were to stay away from. Then this Nakash in verse 4 says to the woman, oh, you're not really going to die, for the Father above knows that in the day you eat it, your eyes will be opened. And you'll realize that, hey, once you go to black, you never go back. Have you heard idiots say stupid-ass things like that? Or, hey, I tried out yellow or brown. I even slept with a Jew once who's none of the above. Bragging almost about this idolatry and this fornication. So he says, yeah, once you do this, you're going to be like the Creator himself and you're going to know the difference. Because we are actually physiologically, emotionally, culturally, and by scent or odor, we're all different. If you take modern colognes and perfumes away, your nose will know there's a difference. Unfortunately, people today don't think very much about that. And then when here in verse 6, when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, nourishment, meaning conversation, information, whatever, and was a delight to the eyes, in other words, not bad looking, and that the tree was to be desired to make one wise. I'm going to show you things that Adam guy didn't tell you about. So she took of its fruit and ate. And here again, if you go to the Hebrew, this fruit is talking fruit as in actions, like what is the fruit of your labor? What is the accomplishment? And eight, this word a call means to sleep with. So if you're having a translation of text, and here's this word a call, and it could mean literally to eat, but it also is referring to the sex act. So now you got a woman who's naked in the garden, so to speak. She's without cover. Adam is somewhere else, so she is naked in a way. And you have a choice to talk about fruit and the act of eating, or you could have the words seduce and have sexual intercourse with. What would you choose in this setting? Does it make any sense? She's talking to a serpent and she's going to pull a piece of fruit off and eat it? Or does it make sense that this conniving black, brown, yellow, whatever color this Nakash was, decides to seduce Eve because she's uncovered? Her husband, Adam, is not to be found. And when Adam finally does show up, he ends up fornicating as well. She talked him into it. And later on in history, of course, we know David fell into that, King Solomon. Many of our great ancestors fell into it because it happens. It happened in the garden. So here we go again. This story is never gotten right in an English version. And I'm looking at the World English Bible right now, so not even it. It doesn't have it right. So further on down, we see in verse 13 when Yahweh says to the woman, "What have you done?" And she says, "The serpent, Nakash, that evil, deceptive man, deceived me and I ate." No, seduced me and I slept with him. Now Yahweh says to the serpent, this individual, this male, "Because you have done this, you are cursed above all creations and above every creature of the field. You shall go on your belly." So this is a euphemism or an analogy of his punishment. "You shall go on your belly and you shall eat dust all the days of your life." That doesn't mean like a reptile. It's talking about describing the fact that he will be low, and he will basically be so low, he will be eating the dust of the earth. So it's a figure of speech. "And I will put hostility." Here's our famous Genesis 3 verse 15. "I will put enmity or hostility between you and the woman, and between your offspring," or seed, literal, "and her offspring," or seed, literal. "He will bruise your head, and you will bruise his heel." In other words, the daughters, sons and daughters of Adam, will have the ability to bruise the head of the serpent seed. The serpent seed has the ability to bruise our heel, nip at our heels, so to speak, which means be an adversary. And that's exactly what they are. They're adversarial of all that is good on this earth, and they're able to bruise our heel. In other words, hinder us, be thorns and pricks in our side. But the wound to the head, destruction, is by our people to the serpent seed. We see that other places of scripture as well. So to the woman, he says now in verse 16 here, "I will greatly multiply your pain in childbirth. You will bear children in pain." Not only the pain of childbirth, but you're going to have problems with them later in life too. As all the parents out there listening know darn well that what I'm speaking about. "Your desire will be for your husband." Now, I want you to know something. When you read Genesis chapter 3, at no time is Adam told that his desire would be for his wife. Because this word desire here is obedience. Actually, what it says is obedience. The husband is not obedient to the woman. The woman is to be obedient to the husband. Sorry if you don't like hearing that, but that's the way it is. And he will rule or be sovereign over you. Gets back to that law of coverture, which we're going to see in the article here entitled Women Are Not Equal to Men, which I took off a Christian website. Now to Adam, he said, because you have listened to your wife's voice and have eaten from the tree, basically you've committed the same sin about which I commanded you saying, don't do it. The ground is cursed for your sake and you will eat from it with much labor all the days of your life. So we men are condemned to a lifelong labor in order to eat and provide for our, the ones we care for. And then, of course, at the end, for you are dust and you will return to dust. So we had this relationship with our father and sort of threw it away. Let me get my verses that I wanted here. Get these in order. Now, this is an article taken from Christian Truth Center. That's all together. ChristianTruthCenter.com under the title, Women Are Not Equal to Men. This is their work, and I'm just going to expound upon it. Man was created first, not woman. Man was created, Man was created first, not woman. Adam was first, not Eve. And it references 1 Timothy chapter 2. Now they only revert to verse 3, which says, for Adam was first formed, then Eve. I went ahead and took a few extra verses to add to this. So starting at verse 8, I desire therefore that the men in every place pray, lifting up holy hands without anger and doubting, in the same way that women also adorn themselves in decent clothing with modesty and propriety, not just with braided hair, gold, pearls, or expensive clothing, but with good works. In other words, women adorning themselves not just with proper clothing, but with good works. Continuing, which is appropriate for women professing godliness. In other words, you don't just dress the part. Similar to us men, it's not by words only, but by deeds. Let a woman learn in quietness with full submission. But I do not permit a woman to teach nor to exercise authority over a man, but to be in quietness. Again, this is 1 Timothy. For Adam was formed first, then Eve. Adam was not deceived, but the woman, being deceived or seduced, has fallen into disobedience. But she will be saved through her childbearing, if they continue in faith, love, and sanctification with sobriety. Now, one thing I like about the World English Bible is a lot of times they'll have footnotes, and they do in this case in verse 9, talking about why they made a certain word in the English, and they go into an explanation that the original Greek meant this, this, or this. So they are getting closer to the thing that we talked about where you have to do the word studies to get the full context in English, because English, unfortunately, is not pictographic, and it does a terrible job sometimes, especially if it's just a word-for-word translation. it does a terrible job of conveying the thought or the context in the original Hebrew or Greek. And please remember that Hebrew is the language of our ancestors, not Jews. First of all, most Jews, 95% of them at least, have no Adamic blood in them whatsoever. They're aliens, complete aliens, and they speak Yiddish. They don't speak Hebrew. The language, the letters, the block Hebrew letters were invented by them around 900 AD or so. They're not the same Paleo-Hebrew alphabet, which is very similar and very pictographic, much like the hieroglyphics of ancient Egypt. So, okay, we've covered here that number two, woman came from man. Man did not come from woman. And again, they go to 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 8, which says, "For the man is not of the woman, but the woman of the man. What comes from you is not equal to you." Okay, this is logic. Children come from their parents. Thus, children cannot be equal to their parents. Man came from Yahweh God. Thus, man cannot be equal to Yahweh God. And woman came from man. Thus, a woman cannot be equal to man. Now, before everybody sends me hate mail, understand that we're talking about equal as far as standing, as far as authority, as far as the hierarchy within the family. We're not talking about such basic rights as right to life, liberty, and things such as that. Okay? We all stand before the Father to give an accounting for our walk on this earth, and we all come under His laws equally. So when the law says, "Thou shalt not commit murder," it applies to everybody equally. Thou shalt not kidnap. Thou shalt not rape. That applies to men and women equally. So we are equal before the Father and His law. But within the institution of the family, it's not that way. Now, as we read this section, I have a little caveat at the end of this article, and I'll remind you of it now. We're talking about real men. We're talking about lions. We're not talking about males, meaning those people with bodies that have male equipment, but they're not men. Do you understand the difference? We have plenty of males out here. Soy boys and cucks and all kinds of males walking the earth, but they're not real men. Because again, we're describing this hierarchy with the assumption that you understand that the men we're talking about are godly men. We're going to discuss what that means here in a minute. But I want the ladies to understand that. We're not asking you to submit to just any old man. No. Quite the contrary, you should be very discriminating as far as who you're going to give this allegiance and obedience to. You don't give it to just any old man. You give it to men, men of Yahweh. In the next section here, a woman becomes the glory of Yahweh God if she is a man's glory. A woman is either under her father, the biological parent, or under her husband. There are no single women in the kingdom of Yahweh God. Single women are of the world. Now, we've told the story of back in the Middle Ages in Germany during the many conflicts that were going on between city-states and towns and regions. Germany itself did not exist back then. It was kingdoms and fiefdoms. There was an area in what today is called Germany, anyway. There was a war between the Protestants and the Catholics. And And this army came up against this rather large city, and they were going to lay siege to the city. Now, this was a Paul Harvey, if I remember correctly, this was a Paul Harvey story, so it's not just some fly-by-night piece of anecdotal evidence that was thrown out there by somebody. And the army was approaching, and so the town fathers got together, and they said, this is going to be a long siege. Therefore, we're going to have to take some precautions because we have a lot of unattached females. And we know that that's going to cause a lot of trouble. So while we're all trapped in this city, we're going to abolish the monogamy-only ruling that the Catholic Church forced on us, and we're going to go back to polygamy. So the town fathers agreed, and they made the announcement in the town that there would be no, quote, unattached or single women allowed. Once you were of age to leave your father's house, you had to find a man. And so there were many homes with more than one wife. Now, he tells the rest of the story is the siege, after years and years of this siege going on, the siege was finally lifted, and the town celebrated, and the town fathers got back together, and they said, okay, well, now that the danger is past, we're going to go back to what the Catholic Church wants us to do, and we're going to go back to monogamy only. The rest of the story, Paul Harvey was saying, the rest of the story is, who were the people who objected to going back to that? Because there was an objection. And the rest of the story was that the women went to the town fathers and said, no, you're not. We've never had it so good. In my own personal conversations with women through the years, and I can't believe how many years I've been doing this now, but many conversations in private with ladies describing this situation and my reasoning and how the scriptures and even this story from Paul Harvey, I've had a lot of women in private say that they agree. I wrote a paper many years ago about this whole situation, the reasons for it, the logic, the scripture, the whole thing. And I wrote it, and it was two or three pages long, typewritten. And I used to pass it out to people, and I remember specifically one of the most liberal women that I ever met. I gave it to her as sort of a test. I said, I'd like you to read this paper, and please keep an open mind. I'm not trying to get you angry, but I would really like your opinion on this. So she took my paper, and it was some days later that I ran into her at work, and I just asked her, did you get a chance to read that paper? And she said, yes. And I said, well, all right, go ahead and let me have it. She said, to be quite frank, she goes, I like the paper. I said, really? She goes, yep. She goes, I think that would be a wonderful way to live. However, where are the men that you describe in the paper? Because in this paper, I made that same distinction between males and real biblical righteous men. She said, I would gladly live in that system if there were real men. But she goes, I'll be damned if I will give this obedience and submission to what I see walking in shoe leather today. I said, fair enough. You're right. If the men won't behave, they don't deserve this. But I said, if there were men such as I described, you're saying you would agree with this. And she said, yeah. She also said, though, let me give you a little warning here. I will never admit to what I just told you in public. I said, really? She said, nope, I will deny it. But between you and me, I would live that way. And I've heard that from many women over the years. And again, for the same reasons, because these ladies in that German city said it to the town fathers. By being in a household with more than one laborer, the distribution of the labor of running the home was beneficial for all. And there's whole books that I've read written by Christian families who have lived a polygamous life. And believe it or not, there are quite a few. I know you don't think they exist, but I've traveled this country quite extensively. And I remember in the Missouri-Arkansas area many years ago, there were whole communities of these people living that way. But they didn't advertise it. You were never going to see a billboard telling you about it or see it on the evening news because they were living it very successfully and happily. And again, nothing on this earth is perfect. It doesn't mean there won't be some fighting and some issues from time to time. But the point of it is, more people than you know either down deep accept it, or they're actually living it. They just don't tell anybody. Much like the people I know that live in separate domiciles, married people now, that have separate homes. Yeah. And that's how they, even though they're married, technically married, they live in separate homes because they find it works better. Gee, where have we heard that before? And I know of one individual who's a truck driver who's got multiple wives, and he's got one in different states that he has along his truck route. The only thing I don't know is if they know about each other. I'm assuming they do, but maybe they don't. I don't know. But the point of it is that we all assume that everybody just automatically agrees with this Catholic version of what marriage should be, and they've ginned up this whole idea, and it's not working. Take a look around you. It's failing terribly because of two things. We're living a life that was not ordained by our Father. It's not in Scripture what we live today. The Catholic Church came up with it. So it's not working, and we have the additional problem today of the women have been, quote, liberated so that they're no longer under this system that we're talking about here. So again, there are no single women in the kingdom of Yahweh God. Therefore, a woman is the glory of her husband or father, the parent. A wife is the glory of her husband. If a woman is not the glory of her husband or father, she is not the glory of Yahweh God. If a woman is a disgrace to her husband or father, she is a disgrace to Elohim God. If, as a wife, you are a disgrace to your husband, you are indeed a disgrace to Yahweh God as well. Now again, we're talking about men who are righteous, real men of Yahweh. Ask yourself, as a woman, whose glory are you? Are you your husband or father's glory, or are you the glory of other people and other men? In other words, Satan's glory. In prior generations, the ladies lived at home with their parents until they married. If they did not marry, they stayed at their father's home and took care of their parents until they passed on. Think about this. We have a tradition, even in this corrupted system, where the father walks his daughter down the aisle and symbolically takes her hand and places it into the hand of the husband-to-be. Now think about the symbology as it relates to the story we just talked about. So the young lady is walked down the aisle under the cover of her dad until her dad recognizes this man will now take over the job of being the cover of his daughter. She will now become, quote, his wife. So at no point in time was she left naked or uncovered. She went straight from her dad to the husband at the altar. So in a way, that ancient system or custom, even in this corrupted system we have today, that ancient custom is upheld. Again, once your eyes are opened and you start having a questioning attitude, you can see the fingerprints of the truth all around us. Who raises women to be equal to men? Satan raises women to be equal to men. In other words, Satan, adversary, makes women men, gives women a spirit of a man. It's for this reason you see women dressing like men, doing manly roles, R-O-L-E-S, roles, fighting and arguing with other men, wives arguing and fighting with their husbands and not respecting and submitting to them. Any wife with a spirit of a man cannot respect and submit to her husband. That spirit of a man to a woman is of Satan. Also, a spirit of women to men is of Satan. Some men have a spirit of a woman, which is from Satan. So the reason they walk, speak, and dress, etc., like a woman, is because it is of the adversary. Satan makes women men and men women. Feminists are Satanists. Again, I'm reading from their article. Every person saying, quote, women are equal to me, meaning a man, and what a man can do, a woman can do, is Satan speaking through that person. It's true. Look how many women now are in the military and doing man jobs, trying to do manly jobs. It's very difficult. Very difficult. I could go into all kinds of stories I've heard from military people, UPS drivers, etc., where women are trying to do a man's job. It's not easy. You're not built for it, ladies. I'm sorry, but you're not. Women empowerment, that movement, women empowerment, is of Satan. Why are you empowering them? Why not empower the men? Why do you not want the truth? Professing to be wise, you have become fools, and Yahweh God has given you up to uncleanness, lusts of your heart, and to dishonor your bodies. Romans chapter 1. Lesbianism, or a woman wanting to be equal to men, thus do what men do, and they exchange natural use to what is against nature. Romans chapter 1. And for that whole section there, to get the context of it, in chapter 1, starting at verse 22, professing themselves wise, they became as fools, and traded the glory of the incorruptible Yahweh God for the likeness of an image of corruptible man, and of birds, and of four-footed animals, and creeping things. Therefore Yahweh God also gave them up in the lusts of their heart to uncleanness, that their bodies should be dishonored among themselves, who exchanged the truth of God for a lie, and worshipped and served the creature rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. We could continue on. This is, for this reason Yahweh God gave them up to vile passions, for their women changed the natural function into that which is against nature. Hallelujah. It's all around us. Likewise also the men, having left the natural function of the woman, burned in their lust towards one another, men doing what is inappropriate with other men, and receiving in themselves the due penalty of their error. It's called disease and mental problems. Even as they refuse to have Yahweh God in their knowledge or in their knowledge base, Yahweh God gave them up to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not fitting, being filled with all unrighteousness, sexual immorality, wickedness, covetousness, malice, full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, evil habits, secret slanderers, backbiters, hateful to Yahweh God, insolent, arrogant, boastful, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents or ancestors, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, unforgiving, unmerciful, who, knowing the ordinances of our Father God, that those who practice such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but also approve of those who practice them. That's the world we live in. Is it not? That's the world we live in. It's unbelievable. Let's see, where was I at here? Evil and wickedness has, this is back to the article by the Christian group. Evil and wickedness has increased in this earth because of these fools professing to be wise, but denying the truth. Women are not equal to men. No woman is equal to a man. Wives are not equal to their husbands. Narrow is the gate and difficult the way that leads to life, and few find it. Wide is the way that leads to destruction. Amen. Women claiming to be equal to men are women on the wide way that leads to destruction. A wife claiming to be equal to her husband is a wife on the way, the wide way that leads to destruction. And the addendum that I put to this article is what I was alluding to earlier. These above statements, I said, are true if you remember it applies to men who are living according to the scripture. If men live up to our Father's expectations, then they do indeed deserve the respect and honor mentioned in this article. Those who possess male anatomies but behave like children or worse, they do not deserve the respect and honor spoken of above in the article. It is time for our men to be lions once again and earn the title Sons of Adam. Now, this word title in the English has several meanings, and the one I picked for this example here is the status of being a champion. That's right from the dictionary. Title, the status of being a champion, a lion, becoming the sons of Adam. Hallelujah. So, where's these other verses I got? Now, I had a bunch of scripture. I'll just run through them here that sort of support what we've been talking about here. Genesis 1:27. So Yahweh God created man in his own image. In the image of Yahweh God, he created him, male and female, he created them. Now, that's chapter 1. Now, people say, see, women were there from the beginning. No, as you will see. Now in Genesis chapter 2, verse 18, then the Lord God said, it is not good that man should be alone. So in chapter 1, it's talking about eventually, yes, Yahweh made everything. But in the beginning, Adam was here alone. So I will make a helper or help meet suitable for him. chapter 3, verse 16, to the woman, he said, I will surely multiply your pain in childbirth. In pain you shall bring forth children. Your desire shall be for your husband, and he shall rule over you. I've made the analogy many years ago that in the Navy, we have things called battleships. And being a military guy, I'm familiar with how this works, but many of my buddies are ex-Navy. You've got this big battleship, and it could have thousands of sailors on it. You could even think of an aircraft carrier if you want. They have close to, I think it's either 6,000 or 7,000 people on it. It's like a small city. Now, on these big boats at sea, where there's a potential that they will be in heated battles for their very existence, you have thousands of sailors running around on them, but you have only one captain. I make the analogy that a man's household on this earth is similar to these battleships. Each household can only have one captain. Now, in the Navy, if you tried to divide the governance of what goes on that battleship between two or more men, it would be a failure. As there's an old saying that one bad general is better than two good generals. Let that sink in. One bad general is still better than two good ones. Okay? So the man's household, he is the captain of that household. That's basically what these scriptures are saying. This is not derogatory to the ladies. That's not the intent at all. It's not downplaying the importance, much like the sailors on those boats. The sailor that takes care of the engines is important. The sailors that prepare the food for the men to eat is important. The men on the boat that are medically trained are important. The men that man the cannon and the anti-aircraft guns are important. Every sailor on that boat is important to the captain. It's his job to treat each sailor identically. The rules and regulations of the boat apply to each sailor without discrimination. That's the only way the battleship or the aircraft carrier will make it through the war. The captain has to make the decisions for the best for his crew. And the crew have to have confidence that he will make decisions that will not only win the battle, but bring them home safely. If they do not believe the captain is capable of doing that, there will be a lack of trust and the functioning of that boat will be greatly harmed. It's no different than the household, the family, the large extended family that, remember, Yahweh told us to be fruitful and multiply. And there are scriptures that talk about the blessings that were given in ancient times. May your quiver be full. For you people that have ever taken archery, you know what a quiver is. That's where the arrows are kept. In the days that that statement was made, a quiver was a woven basket that could hold anywhere from 20 to 50, sometimes even more, arrows. So when they said, may your quiver be full, they were talking, may you have 20 to 50 to 70 children if you're truly blessed, because you're going to have enough resources for that many too. You're not supposed to have more children than you can provide for. So the blessing of having a full quiver means that you have multiple women who believe you to be the best man, just like King David. He had hundreds of women who thought he was the best man. And so your quiver being full meant that there were multiple women who thought you were a man worthy of their submission. Not only in the running of your household, but in the giving of themselves to create children. They trusted you. They wanted you. They wanted that DNA. They wanted that manliness, that intelligence, that work attitude, that loving and caring heart. They wanted that. So your basket being full of arrows meant that you exhibited the traits that our Heavenly Father expects us men, the lions, to have. And these are godly women who said that that man's got it right. He gets my vote. He gets my obedience. He gets my submission. And he gets my body. And therefore that man's quiver is full. He will have a larger household that accomplishes greater works, and he will also have a lot more children. You see, under monogamy only, you're forcing women to accept inferior men. A lot of people don't think about that, okay? Because there's only so many males walking around. So instead of choosing men to be the husbands and fathers, they're choosing males because there aren't enough real men to go around. That's what monogamy only does. That's why it is a tool of the enemy to bring about the downfall of our people. When Yahweh's law is reinstituted, we will have happier homes, larger homes, and they will be productive homes, and the quality of our eugenics, the quality of our children and our people will greatly increase. And when we practice the biblical concepts of the patriarchal family, our numbers will rebound significantly. You have to ask yourself, why did the enemy attack? Two things were at the top of their list. The usual suspects went after monarchies and the patriarchal family were two of the things they attacked first and foremost. And yes, they used, quote, the church to do it. The church of Satan, known as the Catholic Church. The mother of all whores, religiously speaking. The mother of blasphemies against our Father the above. First of all, the whole idea of a priest and priests not marrying is of Satan. That nuns are married to God is of Satan. That men may only have one wife is of Satan. That monarchies are bad, but parliaments and congresses are good is of Satan. Everything in Scripture points to having a solitary individual being in charge, because you give your obedience to that individual because he represents Yahweh on this earth, whether it's a monarch or the head of a household. The concept is exactly the same. If you think you're going to get a consensus amongst the people to do the right thing, you are a fool and dumber than a box of rocks. Take a look around you. Do you think you're going to get these mask-wearing, brain-dead, vaccinated fools to understand any of this? You're going to be fortunate if you have a handful of God's men willing to lead, period. The job of Yahweh's people today is find the leaders to lead you. Find the men who live the word and get behind them. Whether it's you ladies looking to be part of a household or our people as a whole looking for our leaders to bring us out of Egypt, because we're back in Egypt, only worse. The concept is the same. Leadership starts with an individual, and he surrounds himself with elders. He's not a dictator. He's not in power for life. He is elected because he exemplifies Yahweh to the people. When he ceases to do that, he is deposed and a new leader is elected. And the leader is always answerable to the board of the elders, the council of the elders and the people. Always. They're not subject to be bought off with electronic shekels, which is exactly what's happened to every white nation on this earth. The Jews have infiltrated them and bought them off. That's why nothing, absolutely nothing, is working today. And again, the reason I'm bringing this up is because we're in the 11th hour. Right now. At the beginning of the program, I played some of Carl Klang's music. Actually, the software program chose them, but the software program chose some darn good tunes. And one of them is Rock Them in Their Ivory Towers by Carl Klang. Excellent song. Because it is time to rock them, the enemy, the adversary, in their ivory towers that they have established. Okay? In further evidence, I just noticed this verse in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 3. But if you want to understand that the head of every man is Yahshua, the head of the wife is her husband, and the head of Yahshua is Yahweh God. You see, you have hierarchy. The men, everybody out there says, well, you just want a male-dominated society, like the men are able to go out and just make their own rules up. No, you have to understand. Men are in subjection to Yahweh God. Just as the ladies are in subjection to the man has a higher calling. He has an actual greater burden because it's his duty to learn and to understand the things of Yahweh so that he can teach and live it. That is a greater responsibility. And that's why when there are men willing to learn it and do it right, they deserve to have the support of our ladies. I wish the ladies would understand the power that they have and what they do to us men when they disobey these commandments. You're ripping our hearts out, ladies. I'm going to be honest with you. All through my years, I've been teaching this message, and I'm going to be quite frank in the fact that I've got a lot of shit handed to me over it. And I bore it. Because I knew it was true. It wasn't popular, that's for sure. But I knew it to be true. And when I would tell people these things, it's when the women would attack me. Because after all, you know, he's my man. He's my possession. I don't want any other woman anywhere near him. It used to tear my heart out. They don't get it. They don't see the bigger picture. They don't understand, first of all, they don't understand Yahweh's law, but they don't understand why this system doesn't work. The empowerment of women and giving women the idea they can possess a man or claim him to be their man is in contradiction to the hierarchy that the Father created. You also don't really understand what it does to the men. Whether the men actually tell you or not. You're ripping their hearts out. Because deep inside, men know this truth. They may not admit it because they don't want to get a ration of shit from their women. But deep down inside, I've spoken to the men in private. Deep down inside, most men know it. Now, again, this doesn't say that every man is to go out and look for more than one wife. That's not what we're saying. Because some men will be happy with only one wife. Some men will be happy with no wife. Ever. Yahweh creates all the institutions, whether it's celibacy, monogamy, or polygamy. He created all three. There are men that fit all three categories. The problem is when you try to enforce only the one. That is being an adversary to the truth in Yahweh's way. And the results of that rebellion is all around us. We're failing. We're dying. The white race used to be the majority race on this earth. Did you know that? At one time, we were the most plentiful of races upon the earth because we were living according to the law. We were the healthiest, the most prolific, had the largest families, etc., etc. Ella, I was busy reading and I did not see your sending these in, so I'll read them now. She says here that jealousy is evil. Women in the military or government is wrong. Hallelujah. Bad leadership is from weak men and women. Weak men are effeminate men. And women on a battleship will create fornication and jealousy or strife. Hallelujah. I've read plenty of military manuals that talked about that. In fact, in World War I, my Uncle Brownie was in the trenches over in France. And he told my father a story that one day he was a lieutenant and he found two of his men making out. And so they stripped them of their gear and their rifles and ammunition, and he gave each of them a pistol and he blew the whistle and sent them over the top of the trench. Now, of course, they didn't make it very far before the Germans shot them and killed them. And he said that every now and then there'd be two Germans that would attack the American lines or the British lines with only pistols, and they too would be shot. Now, a lot of people, when I've told this story to them, they're oh my gosh, that's horrifying. Well, let me shake you into a little bit of reality here. First of all, trench warfare was a nightmare for the people over there. My Uncle Brownie never fully recovered from that time. It was ugly. It was detestable. And there were many people who did not make it. And so Uncle Brownie's job was to keep his men alive as best he could. And what two men being homosexual lovers in the trenches did is the exact reason why women don't belong in the military. Because those two lovers will look out for each other before they would think about the good of the unit. And that cannot be tolerated if you wish to survive. And that's why they did it. And this custom of eliminating the homosexuals amongst your ranks goes way back into history. It's not just World War I. But see, we've thrown all the wisdom of our elders out the window so that we can be Jewish-approved, modern, progressives, going the way of the world. Just throw all that stuff away. Everything the Bible talks about, what our ancestors, oh, throw it all away. We can adopt this new way where you can be a man or a woman, whatever your heart's desire. You can be queer, transgender. You can be any perversion you want. And again, I'll remind you of the quote, you can ignore the truth, but you cannot ignore the consequences of ignoring the truth. On the field of battle, if Uncle Brownie had not weeded that sort of nonsense out of his ranks, probably every man in that unit would have died. That's why it was so serious. It was also done so that the men would have an honorable burial, and that their disgrace would not be carried by the families back home. In other words, if they were dishonorably discharged as being homosexuals in World War I, that would have been disgraceful. A shame. Because back then people cared more about morality than they do today. And so this eliminated the problem and also gave them killed in action status instead of dishonorably discharged for homosexuality. Life was a little tougher over 100 years ago in this world. People had a little more common sense. People understood that life isn't always fair, and that real men sometimes have to make decisions so that our people survive. It can't always be the nice guy. You can't always just give in because somebody's bitching and moaning that they didn't get what they think they deserve. Tough times make tough men, and tough men have to make tough decisions. Again, I did not mean to step on toes or cause dissension in the ranks, so to speak, but I felt this truth needed to be told. I hope and pray that it is received in the spirit that it was given. It breaks my heart to see our people suffer the way they're suffering today with all the disease and mental problems, all due to the pollution, whether it's a spiritual, moral, or physical pollution that we have in this world today. It pains to know that there are simple solutions. There are truths that would take this pain away. And yet our people are not seeking it. And they ignore his prophets, his latter-day prophets, trying to get their attention. You can understand now why Jeremiah was called the weeping prophet. You can understand now why Messiah was said to have such a forlorn countenance most of the time, because he walked a perfect life amongst people who just don't give a shit. They just don't care because you're upsetting my apple cart. You are interfering with my comfort zone. You violated my safe place. How dare you bring truth when I'm quite comfortable with the lies. Dear Heavenly Father, we give you the praise, the glory, and the honor. I know we don't do an adequate job representing you on this earth. I wish that we would. For those of us struggling to do so, Father, we ask that you would lift us up by thy Holy Spirit. I pray that you would administer to all of the creatures of our people, that you've given the commission to go forth with truth in these days when truth is disdained and lies are worshipped. Our people are drowning in a sea of lies and due to a famine of truth. For those who do accept truth, Father Yahweh, and do seek it with their whole heart, we ask you bless them. Bless them mightily in their spirit, in their bodies, and in prosperity. We lift up Curtis. Our dear friend Curtis is looking for work. Our friend Dan in northern Florida has looked for work. Many people are struggling right now, especially white men. We have a big old target on our back. And yes, some of our greatest adversaries are women of our own race. Be with us, Father Yahweh. Help us to be the men that you want us to be. Turn us into lions once again, even if it means that we go into the field of battle with just two or three. Don't let us ever look back. Don't let us ever care whether or not the lionesses like us being lions or not. Don't let us ever be concerned about what the sheep like or don't like. And for sure, not be concerned about what our adversaries and the aliens think. As my dear friend Lane told me many years ago in a letter, it's lonely being the lead dog, Dan. And lions have the job of being the lead dog. So it is lonely, thankless, painful at times, and there are quite a few times it's only other lions that can lift up a wounded lion. It reminds me of the video, Father Yahweh, that a lion was being attacked by a band of jackals, and this particular lion fought them off bravely, but he was starting to run out of steam, and it was going to be pretty soon the jackals were going to win. And all of a sudden, three or four or five other lions heard his struggle and came to the rescue. And then together they all put the jackals to flight, with several of them being killed. Our men are surrounded by jackals today, Father Yahweh. Shamefully, many of those jackals are our own people. Don't let us ever be concerned with that. Raise up your lions in this latter day and in this perilous time, Father. Let them stand and raise a banner for our people to see, whether it's figurative or literal. Have the lions raise up that banner and lead our people back to you and your law and your ways, and away from this man-made hell that we find ourselves in. To that end, Father, we ask that you walk with us and guide us in all that we say and do to thy glory and for thy kingdom. And always, Father, we ask that you would protect us from our enemies. In Yahweh's name we pray. Hallelujah.
We thank you for the Bible, Lord. We thank you for your word. We thank you for your prophets, Lord, and the truth that we have heard. And we praise you for your Spirit, Lord, you send to comfort us. But most of all, we praise you for the blood of Yahshua. Gracious Heavenly Father, righteous Heavenly Father, gods and no other. I praise you. Wise and wonderful counselor, Lord Messiah and Savior. Kinsman Redeemer, we praise you. Hallelujah, Yira, Yahweh Elohim. We thank you for the Bible, Lord. We thank you for your word. We thank you for your prophets, Lord, and the truth that we have heard. And we praise you for your Spirit, Lord, you send to comfort us. But most of all, we praise you for the blood of
capture me? Is there no end to your own hypocrisy? Your God is power, you have no shame. Your only interest is political gain. You hide your eyes and refuse to listen. You play your games and abuse the system. You stuff your pockets while Rome is burning. I've got a feeling that the tide is turning.
One day with nothing much to do, he tried to put his street clothes on but couldn't find his shoe. The night before he tied one on, now cobwebs filled his head. By afternoon he called in sick and then went back to bed. The next day he felt shaky but he it off to work and voted to increase his pay and take another perk. Although the people cried out loud and told him what to do, instead of trying to cut the cost, he increased revenue. Yippee-yi-yo! Their hide. My congressman just voted yes to increase foreign aid. Although our nation's infrastructure's worn and torn and frayed, while veterans and nation sons become the unemployed, since NAFTA those aliens will gladly fill the void. Yippee-yi-yo! Till their toes are dangling, stretch those faders' necks, hey! House voted yes to pass the Brady Bill. He thinks if he can take my guns, it's him that won't be killed. He doesn't give a hang about the crime he helps create, as long as bribes keep coming in. Americans can wait. Yippee-yi-yo! Size them up, hook them up, bind them out. If they're in, vote them out. If they're out, hunt them down. Drag them into the court, every traitor a sword. Use your vote like a rope, hang them high. Hang them high. Yeah!
By law, a landlord can become the ghost of every crofter's home. By law, their little huts can be dark dens of dirt and misery. Can law be law when based on wrong? Can law be law when we fall the strong? Can law be law when landlords stand, representing mankind of the land?
An alien soil. By law, their daughters, sons and wives are doomed to slavish drudgery lives. All food producing glens are changed from farms to cattle pens. This is your law, whereby a few are shielded in the deeds they do.
Thank you. autumn leaves lie thick and still. For land that is lost now, which those someday held and stolen again still.